Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, well, no, I don't have a question for you today. Instead, I have an interview for you today. Today, we have a special guest. His name is Mark Collins, and he's from an organization called Freedom for Life. And I can't wait for you to meet him. We're going to talk a little bit about how we met, and you're going to discover why I brought him on this podcast. And now, Mark Collins from Freedom for Life. All right. Welcome, everybody, to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome to the program. So glad to have you. And guess what? Today we have a special guest. His name is Mark Collins. He leads an organization called Freedom for Life. And Mark and I got connected on Podmatch, which is a website that I think is like Tinder for podcasters. It's like a dating app. I don't know how else to say it. It's like swipe right or swipe left. Well, I swiped whichever direction is favorable, and Mark is with us today. We arranged to have a call, and during our conversation, it just felt like we shared a lot in common. We have a thread of loving God, loving people, and wanting to use our gifts to kind of help develop others. And so I would really like to introduce you guys to Mark Collins. His ministry is called Freedom for Life, and it comprises coaching services, online courses. He's got some YouTube videos, and he has a Life Mastery ebook, which I think you should guys to check out. This last part on this Life Mastery is really where we got our conversation started. And I thought, man, this would be a good person to have on our podcast today. So, Mark, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Thanks so much, Kevin. I'm excited to have the conversation with you today.
Awesome. So, Mark, can you share a little bit with my audience, now your audience too, a little bit more about you and your work? Like, how did you come to serve in the capacity? How long you've been doing this? Tell us a little bit about Freedom for Life.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, the organization obviously is Freedom for Life, and under it is the umbrella of the courses and things that I am investing in with the people I'm investing in. And so for me, there's probably 10 to 12 years of officially in this capacity. But before that, you know, just I'm sure like you, Kevin, you're always having those opportunities and moments to invest in people, whether it's officially or unofficially. So I tell people that, you know, the work that I'm doing in, you know, the Life Mastery ebook and all those things that are detailed there and courses that we have really came out of my own journey of really trying to understand what it looked like to follow God and to have the person that I was believing I could be actually show up in my life. So it came from a personal journey and testimony of my own life, walking through my own Christian walk, become a pastor in the interim. I mean, there's, you know, all the little moving pieces of all of our lives, but I've had the chance to, over the past 12 years, 7 years within this current format, to invest in probably several hundred people, I think 500 and counting at this point, and trying to give them tools to live out their walk and understand who they are and have that person have the impact in the world that they're meant to.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's a, it seems like it's the discipleship journey, right?
Yeah.
There is this process. I mean, I think John Calvin said it. He said the discovery of God and the discovery of yourself are essentially the same discovery, right? You can't find one without the other.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
You know, like when you, like we hear a lot of religious people say, hey, I want to know God better. And sometimes they try and do that with the assumption that they know themselves. And it never works. They just end up in kind of some quagmire of religious fundamentalism.
Yeah.
If you go the other direction and you're all about, I got to be me. I have to, you know, have to do my thing. And there's no pursuit of trying to understand who God is, then that also lends a person into another kind of a quagmire. So the pursuit of God and the pursuit of self are ultimately the same pursuit. So I think John Calvin was really onto something there. And it's not that we are God, right? It's not like if you find yourself, you found God. Like that's not it. Right.
No, absolutely. I don't think, well, obviously you already know this, but you can't find yourself apart from God. apart
That's
from
right.
the creator and the one who's made you, how do you really kind of fully embrace and understand who you're created to be? And in that place, it's comes from that relationship, is the duality, right? Of in the relationship with God is where I find myself. It's where I understand him more, understand his creation more, but also understand myself. It's that old analogy. If you want to know how something's made, go to the person who made it.
Yes, and this is why when we were talking, I'm like, you're my people, and this is stuff we're always talking about on this podcast. So this is really interesting because yes, I always frame it like this. Only God gets to say who you are. Right?
That's good.
Like, only our maker, you find yourself, you find who you are in God. Hidden in Christ, found in God. Like these realities are really it's significant. Now, you talk about designing your life, redesigning your life, overcoming obstacles, all the things that your ministry is about. And that is this pursuit of this life journey, right? You kind of have this whole thing. And I'm curious how you kind of fell into this structure, right? Where you kind of landed and said, okay, this is really about helping a person with their life. Understanding who they are. Like, is there any significant story in the background there that kind of helps us understand how you got there and why this is really, your fertile soil where you're grounded?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, Kevin. I think, like with a lot of us, that it all starts with my own life and so my journey and helping others to kind of understand what we say in life mastery is to understand who you're created to be so you can have life you're created for. For me, it was having that desire in my own life growing up and, having a relationship with a father who is, strong and strong-willed and, you could say domineering, but he did the best job he could with the equipping he had. But in that place, you grow up with this feeling of lack and not feeling that you measure up to the person that you're supposed to, look up and use as your reference. So growing up and doing all of that, it was me really trying to live out my own journey. It's the things that you'd actually talked about. You can't know yourself apart from God. And that's absolutely true. The challenge is there's many voices out there telling us who we are. And so for me, it was not just the home environment that I lived in, but academic, struggles and challenges as you grow up, and not everybody's smart at everything, but sometimes you think you aren't as good as because you aren't as smart as in some specific area. So in that place of trying to unpack the duality of really on the inside believing there was more than the life I was living. I didn't feel like I was supposed to, be struggling with fear and worry about anxiety and have all these things that were a part of my life. And in the normal course of events, I would assume it's that standard human story of growing up and trying to overcome those things first and foremost by, outward actions, so business and academics and athletics and, using outward accomplishments to overcome an inward insecurity. And we all know where that goes. You find yourself lacking and you're trying to find other ways of doing it. And so the next phase for me was personal development and all those, wonderful teachers and all the courses and conferences and books and all of those things. I delved into a bunch of them because again, there was this voice on the inside saying there was more than where I was at. And those brought good change. I tell people personal development, at least my experience in it, is great to bring change and create habits, to overcome bad habits with good habits. The challenge is that none of that looked like freedom. The scripture it says we're he who the Son says free is free indeed. We understand that as a salvation message. I believe it's also a lifestyle message. I tell people this way. Freedom looks like something lived out. And it's not just the absence of sin and struggle with temptation, but I believe it's an unleashing of who you're created to be. Again, that Jesus model. And so in that place, rediscovered Christianity later on. I went to California, moved there, and met my wife there. She had two children, and I knew that I wanted to help her raise them with a moral compass and forthrightness and all of those things that I knew I could find within Christianity. Grew up going to church until 12 years old. So I had a basis and background of it. I just didn't have a relationship with God. And so in my own journey of bringing the kids to church, come to find out I had my own salvation journey there as well, accepted Jesus at 27 and then started really in that journey of unpacking what does it look like to follow God to follow Christ, to be who the Bible says I am, to live out the life that I'm called to. And then in that place, really started to unpack scripture as instruction to
Yes.
overcome those issues, those challenges, those failings, those fears, and actually live out what I believed was his call on my life. And that was, my own personal journey. And then, same with you, I'm sure, Kevin, when you find something you think is amazing, you want to share it with everybody you know. And
Yeah.
that was more of an informal process of, hey, have you ever thought of this? And this is what I'm reading in the Word and how I'm trying to apply it in my own life. And then, officially and giving it structure and lessons and those things so that I can actually help people systematically to walk through some truths and some strategies to live it out, which was the creation of Life Mastery.
Yeah. Wow, that's an interesting backstory, and I think it's one that I think a lot of people, especially in this audience, would identify with, at least a good half of this audience, certainly. And in this life journey that we're all on, we all get to that place, right, where we have this, I think you use the term negative thought, right? You have you use the term where you just you have these messages. I always call them malware scripts, right? These are the messages that we tell ourselves that are not true, but we believe. It's kind of like it has the same effect as if you were stepping off of a cliff with the belief that air could hold you up. No, I really believe air will hold me up. It doesn't matter if you believe it. The fact that that statement is not true fundamentally changes the outcome, right? And so it sounds like from your childhood of origin, you kind of had some issues. I think culturally we might call them daddy issues, right? I have some other stuff, and it kind of created some of these negative thoughts, which you worked through. I think you have something on your life mastery protocol or program that's called the imposter syndrome that hopefully we could talk a little bit about. But one of my questions as part of this journey, because everybody out there knows about self-help books, they know about self-help talk. There's a billion YouTube videos of some guru, some dude, some, whatever, saying this is how you sort through it. As you've kind of gone through that journey, how would you say, I mean, you said it's helpful to giving you some framework, but it's not helpful for giving you freedom. And man, I think that's a really key point for our audience to hear. And I'm always beaten up on psychology. And it's not all bad, right? It can be profoundly insightful. But a lot of it is just people with daddy issues talking about getting over their daddy issues, right? And so it's like, how has this gone deeper than that for you?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kevin. I think what I tell people, to juxtapose where I've walked in my life, personal development courses versus scripture and the Word of God is what I say in general is the habit you use to get there, you have to maintain to stay there. And so whatever the issue is you're struggling against, fear or imposter syndrome or what, anxiety, worry, stress, all those things that happen. We all have a story and we all have a life. And many times there's challenges. And so the difference is within personal development, again, with my own experience, it was that those habits that you had to maintain. And there's a couple of things in that. The first is that seems exhausting to me. And that was never something I was excited about. And the other was there was really, it was a self-management. It wasn't mastery. It wasn't me living out from who I was. It wasn't transformation. As the scripture says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed.
Yes.
That transformation to me is a goal and destination. Obviously, you can talk about sanctification process being more like Christ, but I believe the journey is as well being more and more like who God created you to be, not what your life has told you are.
Yes.
I think
I like that. What I
it
hear when I what I hear through that is the expansion from a transactional solution to a transformational solution.
Yeah,
Right?
absolutely.
Right. It seems like the marketplace of ideas with all the people and their daddy issues and their psychology and everything else. And again, I'm not just psychology can be profoundly helpful, but generally, it's not, we don't have to go back to our our infancy, like start with your fetus, and then we're going to find every pattern that went off the rails in the next 7 years. We're going to be sitting here talking, asking invasive questions, right? Healing doesn't have to be a retroactive examination of everything, right? And so, like, to get out of that transactional mode of healing into a transformational mode of healing is true insight. And it seems like you found that through the Word of God, like through the teachings of learning wisdom, not just doctrine, like life experience. Like wisdom isn't just the knowledge, right? It's the skill to use the knowledge we possess. And like to gain that skill is how you overcome all these things, like imposter syndrome. So I would love it if you could spend a second in, maybe if you're willing to share what is this example of imposter syndrome. It sounds like that's kind of the message that got tattooed into your brain early and then you were able to overcome. So, like, is there a way you could share about what that is and, as an example for the people of like if you came to his life mastery program with a concern or an issue, how would you walk them through that using imposter syndrome, perhaps as an example?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the question. Yeah, imposter syndrome was definitely something, that I didn't know the label at the time. I just knew the response. Sometimes we don't know what the, psychology or the world or people are labeling a particular interaction. We just know what happens when it comes, right? When you're walking into that circumstance, you don't feel qualified to actually, whatever, achieve that task, give that speech, talk to that, CEO, that board member, start that business, be in that relationship. I mean, there's a multitude of things that we walk through, and in general, imposter syndrome is typically you feeling like you're not qualified for that circumstance that you're walking into.
And do you
And it's
feel that
interesting. I'm saying, go ahead.
a quick side question on that, but I don't want to derail it, but
For sure.
like when people feel like I shouldn't be giving this talk, I'm not qualified. Don't you feel like that imposter syndrome is behind so much anxiety? Like when people are going around with more anxiety now than ever, how much is it because of this imposter syndrome, right? Like that's the fake ID. That's the person who doesn't know themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, I think to be totally honest, fear of failure, imposter syndrome. Yeah, I'm not a psychologist, so we didn't hear any PhD when he introduced me. I didn't have any title at the end of my name, so I'm not speaking on behalf of psychology. But what I see in the Word of God and what I've seen in my own life is any of these, where it's fear, failure, anxiety, worry, stress, need for control, or all of these, are all the underlying issue is an identity statement. It's believing that you're not qualified or equipped for whatever you're walking into. And there's a couple of stories I would say. One is Jesus in Matthew 3, going into Matthew 4, when Jesus is baptized, as I'm sure all of your listeners, I was going to say readers, all of your listeners know the story that Jesus was baptized by his cousin John. He comes out of the water, and it says that the Holy Spirit descends in like a dove and abides. It stays with him. The voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased," an identity statement. Fast forward through him fasting for 40 days, he's in the desert, he hasn't eaten. Satan comes to tempt him, and my opinion is the very first temptation is the strongest one, because you want to derail the savior of the world immediately. So Satan's temptation was this: if you are the son of God, then turn these stones to bread. And in that is a synopsis of how most of us are living. If you really believe you're that person, then prove it. And so those outward things I talked about earlier of needing success, needing accomplishment, needing income, needing a title, is really living out of that place that Satan tempted from the very beginning of Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry, I should say. And even in the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, we won't have time to unpack it here, but it literally is this: if you really think you are somebody of value, somebody of worth, then you need to prove it. And unfortunately, everybody I know at some level, as I tell people, you're either living from who you're created to be or what your life has told you. If you're living from that second category, which apart from a transformational journey, I haven't found a person yet who's not, then you're living from a place of trying to prove it. And imposter syndrome is that counteraction to it of saying, well, I can't prove it because I'm not worthy. The second
Yes.
story I would give would be Judges 6. Gideon is one of my favorite people in the Bible, one of the favorite testimonies I have, because he reminds me a lot of what my life was at one time. So he's a young man in the middle of his people. He's going to thresh wheat, but there's a group of individuals, the Midianites, who are oppressing God's people. They were oppressing the Israelites by taking all their possessions. Every time they would have, a flock that would increase, they would take it. Every time they had a harvest, they would take it. And so he's hiding in a wine press threshing wheat. An angel comes, sits on a rock, and says, "Greetings, mighty man of valor." Identity statement to a young man who's in hiding. He gives him an identity statement of who he actually is. Then, again, we don't have time to unpack it, but Judges 6 and Judges 7 is an amazing journey, because the very first thing that Gideon does is the thing that you and I are talking about, Kevin. He gives excuses as to why he's not qualified. God hasn't showed up. We've heard the stories of God. Where has he been? Haven't you, don't you see where we're at? By the way, my tribe is the smallest of all the tribes, and I am the least of my family, which means that out of all of Israel, I'm the least qualified person that you could ever pick to lead them into victory. And then, as the angel is a lot like God and a lot like Jesus, in that they don't give us answers to our questions, they just tell us what the truth is. So the angel tells him that he's going to lead his people into victory over the enemies of God. They go through some things, some tasks that he needs to do, some proving that he needs to have. And then immediately the Midianites, and I believe it was the Amorites, come to attack the Israelites. The interesting thing, Kevin, is from the time he was told who he was, mighty man of valor, to that promise of his purpose and impact, bringing the Israelites to victory, that in between time, there was no training, there was no military school, there was no strategies that he was a part of, there was no mentoring that he did under some general or somebody that was amazing in leadership. And the reason why is because I believe he was already created for the impact he was supposed to be walking in. And so, for many of our lives, we don't realize the thing I tell the people that I work with is you're the answer to the circumstance you're walking in. I have yet to see God equip somebody after they've walked into the battle. He's equipped them ahead of time and then invited them into the thing that they're equipped to accomplish. So imposter syndrome is literally us living from allowing Satan to tell us and be louder in our lives, or our life to be louder in our lives, our past, our experiences, the things that we didn't do well, to have a louder voice than the truth of who God made us to be, which is, as you know, why I'm super passionate, because I believe that an unleashed individual in the world can change the
Oh,
world.
it's incredible. Like this audience here is comprised of people who've followed the podcast since 2015, some of them the blog since 2012, right? So this is a subject we have delved into. I just hope this audience, everybody, I hope you're listening. Like what this, the beauty of what Mark is sharing with you is the revelation of the good news. It is this, I'm always saying it, everything goes back to ontology. Everything is ontological, meaning it's about our identity. It's who we are. And until we know that, and man, you're so right, Mark, there is a billion off ramps on with signs saying exit here to find yourself. Take this path. We got you. You're actually this, right? And in my own journey, the way the scripture has revealed it, and I love how you can share these passages as revealing identity statements, as you put them, because that's exactly what they are. But they're so much bigger than just like when I say only God gets to say who we are, it's a way of saying this is how your life goes. And what you're saying is if I can connect you to who you understand who you really are, your life will unfold in a way that is going to have transformation, not just for yourself, but everything you touch. And then, of course, with that comes the ideal life, which is kind of some of the dream life of what you talk about. But I would love to circle back to this passage that you talked about with regard to the temptation of Jesus, because You found an identity statement in there that I had missed, but I found an identity statement in the same passage, which I'm always harping on. And that is that, like, this life journey we're on is you start out and you're a baby. And let's just say I'm, baby Kevin, and I'm part of the Winder family. Your family is the first institution that names you. Right. And then you go out and you have some friends and you're like, oh, yeah, these are my buddies. And we're, BMXers. Right. And that's like your next community group that names you. Then you go to college or high school and you get an alma mater. And all of a sudden, now when you go to the football game, if you have a blue jersey, you're supposed to not like the green jersey because you're part of this institution now. Right. And then it's just like, each institution unfolds before us, and we adopt the new name. We take on the new fake ID, the new McLovin, right? Until we finally get a title of who we are based on our business card. That's what tells you who you really are, right? And some people are convinced that's true, right? Oh, did you see that doctor in front of mine? Yeah, did you see that MD there or the lawyer? That's who I am, right? And the longer you stay in that imposter sort of syndrome, this might not be the correct way of putting it, but I'm using your language, just
For
kind of
sure.
drafting off of it. Like, you, the more you're into these institutional powers. And they have the power to name you, but it's not your true name. And this is where I get that third temptation, or is it the second one, where he says, Satan says to Jesus, hey, I will give you all, look at all of the kingdoms of the world, and I am going to give them to you because they're mine to give. I have the authority, and I'll give them all to you. All you got to do is just worship me, just take the name. Just take what they give you. And Jesus is like, no, not going to happen. Right. And so, like, this influence of institutional power to name us is just another very powerful voice that tattoos these identity statements on our head. And so it's this amazing journey of spiritual journey, discovery of who we are in God, where God regains the ability to write our name and we actually believe it. Right.
I love that. And it's interesting because what I tell people as a general phrase is, if you don't understand who you're created to be, the world has to make up the difference. And that's kind of the outcome of what you're talking about, those identity statements, where a lot of the people I work with, it's not people who necessarily haven't done anything yet. They haven't started a career, or they haven't started a business or what have you. It's in many cases, people who have, like Brett, a man who was, actually bivocational. He was a pastor and a business owner and amazingly successful at his business. But at the same time, like with my own journey, success in business didn't stop him from those feelings of failure and imposter syndrome that followed him along. I tell people that it doesn't stop it from happening. Those things just come along for the ride. But
Yes.
it's what the world says. So
What
if you
was
have
that
those
statement
titles,
again? Can you repeat that statement you started with that I thought was so good?
sure. No, the statement was, if you don't know who you're created to be, the world has to make up the difference.
Yes.
So you chase after prestige and position and power and
Yes.
income and all those things that the world says, well, that's going to be the end all. That's going to be when you finally feel fulfilled, successful, that you'll matter.
Yes.
And so for him, it was that case, and myself as well. But I saw in him as a person I was working with, it was success was supposed to stop me from feeling like I'm a failure or I'm inadequate or what have you. And it didn't happen. It's in that journey of understanding again that, Satan, as you talked about, there's so much to unpack in those scriptures with Jesus. The first one was prove that you matter, prove that you're somebody of worth, right? Do outwardly
Yes.
those things to prove an inward thing you're hoping for, but really don't believe.
Yes.
And then the second was, dash your it, throw yourself off of this high place, and the Bible says that the angels will have charge over you, and you won't dash your foot against a stone. It's in that place of, okay, well, if I matter, if I'm somebody of value, then, well, nothing should go wrong in my life. Everything should be peaches and cream, as my dad would say. And then that third one is, right, bow down to me and I'll give you all of these things. When I have everything, then I'll feel significant and worthy. And it's the same things that we all as far as I know, everybody I've seen try to use to as a substitute for their identity.
Yes.
But it's in that place of understanding who God created you to be that now all of a sudden those things come into alignment. And for Brett and anybody that who's listening to this, it doesn't mean that success doesn't happen. As you read throughout all of Scripture, there was, victories and there was success and there was prosperity and there was those amazing things that were the outcomes of the lives and the impact of the people that we've read. It's the same today. We're like with Brett, a Christian man who had success in his business. The difference was his success, first and foremost, was a joy, not a relief. When you're using the world to make up for your identity, then at that place, it's really a relief because, oh, okay, I didn't fail this time. But then what about next time? And you have to continuously recreate those things,
Yeah.
that hamster wheel of success, to try and make up for that feeling of lack. And it never
Yes.
gets there. But when you understand who you are now, all of a sudden, your victories, your accomplishments are an outcome of who you're created to be. They're not a substitute for it.
Yes. This is why identity politics is interesting to me. Not that I want to go off onto that slippery slope in any direction, but I'm just saying, like, our whole world, the message of the world has moved into identity. And it's trying
Yeah.
to rename people. And then of course people are like, "Oh yeah, that is my identity." And man, they get angry. They get worked up. Like they
Yeah.
want to defend the fake ID with all, like, "I am McLovin. I am," And it
Well,
doesn't
that's interesting, isn't
work.
it, Kevin? Because it's really category politics, and what it is saying is you're of value if you are, like you talked about with shirts, right? The blue or the red jersey, or blue or the green jersey, you said, right? When you don't know who you are, you try and find value in other things, and it's in those groups. Okay, we're all of this group, or this is my team, and we're blue jerseys, or we're green jerseys. So now I'm somebody of
Yes.
significance, and it's so easy when you, again, you don't understand who you're created to be, the world will tell you. And
Oh,
so in those
man.
places, you grab for those things that are substitutes. But when you know who you are, now all of a sudden I can be part of a group and not be the group.
Yes.
I can
Yep.
be an investor in those things with the impact I'm supposed to have versus my identity is my team, my political party, my part of the country, my
Right.
race, my nationality, whatever the thing is. And none of those are bad, but all of them are a horrible substitute for an identity.
Yes, 100%. And if you don't know who you are, you're pulled into the binary, the tribalism that is everywhere. You made a point of saying I can be in something but not of that thing, right? I can be a
Yeah.
part, but I don't have to be defined by that thing. That is freedom. That is true freedom. If you just switch teams or you just go to one side and you join a tribal fight of what you think is right versus wrong and you can't discern the middle, like you've lost before you've ever found anything.
Yeah.
And that's profoundly true because a lot of your website does talk about finding freedom. It talks about this lifestyle design. And I want to kind of focus in on that part next because obviously I hope audience, as you're listening, you realize if you're early on in the game in your life, if you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, early 40s or whatever, the wisdom that's coming across this microphone today between Mark and myself is going to save you decades if you can heed it. I mean, there are people in this audience who are millionaires, they're CEOs, they're successful, they did everything that you're trying to do to get to that thing, to get that attainment, to be just ahead of the accusing voice that says you don't belong here. And they got there and they're like, well, there's nothing left. Right? They come and they seek out a life coach, they seek out somebody to help them say, well, what's next? Where's meaning? How do I find meaning in this? How do I design my life from here? And then you have the other people who are like, well, my life's a mess. It's never launched. I can't get ahead. I can't break into the system. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm not enough of this. I'm not enough of that. And I need some help getting my life designed, right? And then they get pulled into these, I mean, super uber expensive life coaches, and just it never gives them the freedom that they want. So, on this subject of lifestyle design, what I've seen is people, when they come to me with this, we get two, three talks in, and all of a sudden they're like, I don't want that thing anymore. It's right? Which to me is a sign of tremendous healing. But what's been your experience in this part? Because it sounds to me, based on what you've said, that what you're helping them through finding their identity. And then they know, once they know who they are in God and what God has purposed them for, and that He didn't make a mistake and He didn't create a person for which there's no job, there's nothing for them to do, right? That out of that comes the quote unquote dream life. But that the dream life isn't something that, well, they might start by coming to you with what they think is their dream life, but they don't even know what their dream life is because they haven't found what you're saying. Did I get that right?
I definitely understand.
Okay.
And it's interesting. So the title of my book, an ebook that we talked about, was Life Mastery: Living Life by Design, Not by Default. And that's one of the first mindset shifts that I work with people on, because in many cases we kind of feel like we're left with the life that we have, and we just need to manage it to the best of our ability. So if we have fear, we need to find, tools and mechanisms to minimize it, and overcome procrastination with, rapid, energetic activity, or some of those things out there that people are using, and they bring results. The challenge is they don't bring transformation. I've actually The difference between the two is I was having a conversation at lunch with my wife, and she was talking about a woman that she knew who recently lost a bunch of weight. She lost like 100 pounds through Weight Watchers, which was awesome. But the back half of the story was she had some challenges and some issues that happened in her life. Loss of a family member, some other struggles and challenges that happened, and she gained all of the weight back. And what I told my wife was that the reason why she did was because the issue wasn't the mechanisms and the management of her weight. The issue was using food as a substitute for as emotional comfort, as
Okay.
a way for her to
Yeah,
manage her
of
life.
course. Yes.
And so there's this thing that we believe that we have, which is that we have a life by default, that I'm just supposed to respond to life the best way I can, whether it's a challenge or an issue or a struggle or an insecurity or what have you. And what I see throughout the Word of God is that we're not to respond, but we're the response.
Yes.
I have
Love it.
not seen anybody within the Word of God who was not the response to the life that was happening, whether it was somebody who was challenging the people of God, or Esther, who knows that you were not made for such a time as this, when somebody wanted to kill all of the Israelites to prove a point to Mordecai and to kill him too. So there's all these circumstances that are happening. And so what I would say is that life by design is understanding that you're created for the life you're walking into. As I may have said earlier in this conversation, you're the answer to the circumstance you're walking into. You're not the question to be figured out.
That's so good. I hope, audience, you're hearing that. It is such a good nugget.
And
Love that.
so in that place, life mastery versus life management, it's really understanding that God's given you tools and instruction within His Word to overcome the things that you're being challenged with. We think we're supposed to, and you don't want to throw any stones at anybody, and I was there myself. Sometimes I feel like we use scripture to try and bludgeon our thoughts into submission. When fear happens, or worry happens, or anxiety happens, we pull out our favorite scripture and we say it over and over again. And I've been there. I've been to a place where I was, our family, we were in business and it wasn't going well, and we were at the verge of bankruptcy and it wasn't looking good for us. And I would go up on the top of a hill nearby, overlooking the city, and I'd memorize that scripture: do not be anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication, present your request to God, right? And the peace
Yes.
of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That scripture I memorized because we were at the very edge of financial ruin. The challenge is you can't beat up your life with scripture, but you can use the Word of God as instruction to live out your life in the way you're created for. And
So
so there's
good.
great promises, there's wonderful philosophy in there, but if we don't grab the instructions from the Word of God, if we don't start to live it out, right? And so
Yes.
for us,
Yeah.
in our what we're doing is, our three-step transformational strategy is mastering your thoughts, words, and actions. Your
Yeah.
thoughts, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. it's a scripture about a rich young man or a rich ruler, a rich person. And the author is warning the reader, hey, who he is on the outside isn't who he is on the inside. But in that word, there's also an instruction that says this, okay, so if a man, what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I'm trying to align with who God says I am, but I'm struggling with fear, then what are the thoughts I'm thinking about me?
Right.
We tend to use scripture as an outward facing idea, so that I'm supposed to be what is his thoughts about the world and the future and all of those things that are going on in my fellow man and all that. And that's very valid. But the thing we never stop to do is look inwardly and say, but what are the thoughts I'm thinking about me? I tell the people I work with, Kevin, and I'll stop with this.
Yeah.
I say, if your thoughts don't align with who God says you are, then they're lying to you.
Yes.
So how do you change them? Start with identity, start with understanding who you are, continue to remind yourself of who you are until you see that person show up.
Yeah. That's a really good advice there. One of the ways I, when I'm talking with folks, is I always say, who you are is the beloved. You know, you gave that story in Jesus' baptism about this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, identity statement. And we are, as God's children, the beloved of God. And like, there's something about being loved deeply, being known deeply, you know, from the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the earth, right? That takes our identity and gets it out of our whatever 30, 40, 50 years that we've been living, and kind of extends that timeline to eternity. Because in God's consciousness, there could never have been a time where we didn't exist in his knowledge, because if we showed up on the scene later, he would not have been omniscient prior to that. So, like, our identity goes back a ways, to say the least. Like, when you finally get that sense of your beloved, it absolutely starts to reorder the actions, the how you live it out. Like, and you, like you said, you have to finally get them to believe it, and it does take some time. I remember one person I was listening to. He says, sometimes you got to shoot the bear with more than one bullet. Right? You got to say the same thing over and over many, many times before somebody really owns it and takes it on and believes it. And identity is one of those things where everybody assumes they know. And it's really, really hard to convince a person that they don't. But what helps them is to realize nobody knows themselves completely perfectly. Like, we are all just partial knowers of ourselves on our best day. Right? Because you can't fully know yourself in any more than you can fully know God and all the things, but you can know just enough to do the work you're purposed and designed to do in this world. It's kind of like driving at night. You don't need to see the whole road forever. You just need to see the next 100 feet. That's all the identity you need to carry you into the next phase of identity, of learning more about yourself as you learn more about the maker who named you. Right? And so, like, that's when you get it, thoughts. Would you say thoughts, deeds, and or thoughts, actions? Did I miss one? There's three of them.
Thoughts, words, and actions.
Thoughts, words, and actions. Yes, exactly. Like that. That's a whole process there. And again, folks, if you guys want to learn more about Mark's Life Mastery book, Living by Design, Not by Default, we're going to give you his website here. $7.99. You can download it. It's a great investment in yourself. It's another way of saying some of the things we say here, but in nuanced ways. He's got tools, he's got resources that will help you in a much more specific way than perhaps I do it. I'm very much a generalist, so to speak. But this sounds like it's going to take you into the nuts and bolts of exactly what your thoughts, words, and actions are all about. One question, though. This kind of popped up as you were talking about that. And this is totally out of the blue, so, you know, whatever. Do you have a practice you suggest for helping people identify the thoughts?
Oh, interesting. Wow, that's a great question, Kevin. I haven't thought of that because I have a process that we use to help you identify your, sorry for the language, but identify your identity. So to start to unpack who you are apart from your accomplishments and the things that you do.
Right.
And so we don't start with the thoughts, but we start with identity. Who did God make you to be? And so we create an I am statement from there, and then we use that as a meditation to say, okay, well, there's a couple of other tools, celebration list and an accomplishment list. I can unpack them if you'd like, but those three we use to say, okay, well, who did God create you to be? And in that place, using that as your barometer of your thoughts. So after a conversation with God, we always desire anybody who knows God to start with that. And you start to understand, oh, okay, well, I am a person of character. I'm a person of value. I'm a person of, intellect. I'm a person of, great passion and great emotional bandwidth and ability to care for those that I love. Whatever the statement is that you have, you start to unpack who you're created to be. And in that place, you'll not start to naturally see where your thoughts aren't aligning. So when you have a challenge coming up and you have this anxiety happening, thinking, oh my gosh, I really blew it this time. I'm going to be a failure. And there'll be, you'll find moments of triggering. So it really isn't identifying thoughts, but aligning those thoughts with who God says you are. And in that place where there's not a congruence, when there's not a sameness to those two, seeing it more clearly and understanding that, oh, okay. Because like I believe I said in this conversation, who you think you are, you'll become is something I remind my people of all the time, which is a continual understanding of if my thoughts aren't aligning with who he says I am, then my actions and my life won't show it.
Yes. I love it. I really, really love it. Well, as we kind of wind down here, tell us what you're most focused on right now in your work. Like, what is the next big question that you're exploring? How are you going after that with your work?
That's a great question. So there, it's twofold. My focus right now is, I tell people this all the time. My wife is tired of hearing it. I told them that this is a message that matters to me. And what I'm desiring and putting all of my energy in now is to find the community that it matters to. And so conversations, obviously, I'm so appreciative of this conversation with you, Kevin, because as I continue to have these conversations, I believe that God wants to transform people worldwide. Obviously, he
Yes,
does. We understand this as
yes.
believers. And so my part of it, my portion, my impact, as we've talked about in this conversation, is this. And so that's one of the ways that I'm doing it. But, so I have my book, Life Mastery, and I have the course, Life Mastery. And this is really kind of what I would consider the basic training of transformation in people's lives. And I say that because I was in the military reserves. My dad was active military for 25 years. And you have basic training where you learn all of the, standard strategies, tools of living out that role. And then you have what they call advanced training. And in advanced training is where you start to apply what you've learned in the basic area to, in those cases, they called it an MOS, which is basically your job title, what you were doing in the military. What that has to do with us is I have what I call the five spheres of life mastery, which is the spiritual, relational, vocational, physical, financial. I believe in general, you can break them down even further, but in general, all of life happens in those five areas: spiritually with you and God, relationally with you and others, vocationally with you and the impact he desires to have through you, physically being able to have that longevity of purpose and mission, and financially being able to purpose so that you're not just having provision and prosperity for yourself, but you're investing in the things that matter to you and matter to God. And so my next phase of training and the course that I'll do and the book that I'm in the middle of writing is in taking those tools that we talked about in the Life Mastery and the Life Mastery course and seeing how they apply in those areas. I know how they apply, but now it's creating instructions so others can walk that roadmap as well. So that's
Yes.
my next area of focus is expanding that. So as people start to become well-versed in this transformational journey through Life Mastery, and now all of a sudden they can attach it to those areas and expand their spiritual walk, their relational walk, their vocational walk in the areas that really matter in their life, that really bring joy and fulfillment for them.
That's so good. And I love that you incorporate all of those pieces because those are central to where so many of our perceived problems originate. When you can't make rent, your underlying belief is that you have a financial problem, meaning I don't have enough money. most financial problems are have almost nothing to do with money. They have to do with your emotions around money, as Rick Kahler would say, one of a great financial experts, and who talks a lot about financial therapy, bringing the mindset and emotion and all that together in your finances. A friend of mine, good guy, recommend anybody checks his stuff out. But like, that's what I'm saying. You're symptomatic. Like, your problem with your relationship is symptomatic. Like, yes, it is a relationship problem, and it's not about finding your childhood trauma that's going to pull that out. It might be a part of it, but what you're saying is there's a holistic pie here, and each one reverberates off the other, starting with yourself founding God. You get that right, and all the spheres start to unlock. And this is so true. And I've seen it in this audience over and over and over again. And I love the fact that you're passionate about this, that God has done a work in your life. What would you say to the audience member who's like, okay, Kev, you're always talking about God and stuff, and you know me, I'm not really a believer. I'm not there yet. I'm still kicking tires. I'm not signing up for any religion. And by the way, no one here has ever asked you into one. But at the same time, like, how does somebody who says, I don't know about my spiritual orientation, I really haven't explored it, and to me, just getting by the river, just going into the mountains, that's my thing. How do you find that healing and that connection in for that person? Is there something in your program for them?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I tell people, Kevin, is, as I know you know this very well as well, just because you don't know who created the tools doesn't mean the tools don't work. And
I
so
love that. Yeah.
those places in understanding identity, I believe there's an innate sense of value and worth inside of every single person. I also believe there's a spiritual longing inside of each individual person. So for that person that or people that you're talking about, I wouldn't dare to try and lead you in a salvation prayer, but I would say that that thing on the inside that you're looking for may have a name, and I know what that is, but just in having that desire, that longing, that thing on the inside that's telling you there's more than where you're at is an indication that there's a greater creator than just the
Yes.
universe and life
Yes.
just naturally happening on its own. But in that
Yes.
place, the people who don't understand or don't know God, haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean you don't have thoughts that are empowering or disempowering. It doesn't mean you don't use words that either put you down or elevate your thought process and your activities. It doesn't mean you don't have an identity that's unique and specific and amazing with impact. And so the tools work. The tools work whether you know a God by name, you have a relationship with him, or you're a person who's just on your own journey doing your own thing. Because who we are as the creation of God is the same, whether we know him by name or don't know him at all.
So good. Well, Mark, thank you so much for this really fun conversation. We could totally keep going. I knew that about you when we first had our first call. I got this is going to work. And I'm so glad I had you on. It's reassuring, and I hope my audience really hears how God can take you in a million directions. And when he does give you this, you're going to give it away too. And I would love you to share how people can get in touch with you, how they can access your life mastery, living by design, not by default, product, and any other thing that you'd like to share.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I try and be a one-stop shop. So everything I have, you can access on my website, which is freedom-4-life.net, freedom-4-life.net. And by the way, the four is the word four. Somebody asked me if it was the number, and well, I thought we'd be clever. I wasn't clever, so no, it's not.
Okay.
But the Life Mastery book is out there, and it's the ebook, which Kevin said as well, that was $7.99. And it's inexpensive, and it's even cheaper than the printed version. And the reason is because I want to give people the ability to have it in their hands, in their book, in their iPad, in their phone, so they can have it wherever they're going. But the thing about it on our website is it gives you the opportunity, as I tell people, to read something today, apply it this week, and see transformation this month. So I do have the full-fledged course and all that out there. If you're one of those people that, you want to buy, you want the whole thing, you want to buy the whole house, you don't want to rent a room, well, the course is out there as well. But what I love about the book is I call it the Shortcut Guide to Life Mastery. It is quick and easy read. It gives you tools and strategies, nuggets for you to actually apply. You have all that in the course, but for those who kind of want that quick start version, the book is out there. I'd love for you to grab a hold of it and start your transformational journey today.
That is awesome. And folks, I will have that on my website. I will post it on the post on the newsletter on Winder's Windshield so that everybody has a link directly to it. And I'll also put that on my blog, Thrive in Exile, so that everybody has access to that as well. Mark Collins, thank you so much. I hope maybe we can come back again. I'd love to hear some stories of success. Hopefully our audience will reach out and get in touch with you and take a hold of your resources.
Thanks so much, Kevin. This was a joy. I really appreciate the conversation.
Awesome. You take care, and we'll talk soon.